Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom to all of the family spread out to the four corners of the earth. Save the water, Toda Rabah, for tuning in to Blueprint for Life here on Babylon Talk Radio. I am your brother, Elder V, and this is a day that the Most High has made, so let us rejoice and be glad. Old folks used to sing a song. Slaves used to sing a song, lay our burdens down by the riverside. Well, listen, the Sabbath comes and the Shabbat comes. That's exactly what you do. Lay everything to the side and realize that this is a day to relax, be refreshed. And if you don't do anything else, come out of the world and the stress and chaos of the world that is against you. The family, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, the only family that the Most High has ever known in the earth that he breathed into. Such tremendous people, as you can see, even in these Olympics. All praises to the Most High. Listen, let's go for the Father in prayer before we go any further. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. And like David, we pray, renew a right spirit within us and restore the joy of our salvation. Wash us, purge us, cleanse us, that we might be clean. Father, we pray that we're counted worthy to be in the remnant, that we'll see you when you return and make it through the fire. Those that are struggling, may they find grace and mercy, but most of all, deliverance from whatever has them entangled. For you told us to be not entangled with the cares of this world, because those that do so are not worthy to be a part of this army. So we come against every entanglement, oppression, depression that is on our people. May they understand that you make a way of escape, and there is a way to come out of whatever they're struggling with. And that our people would not only awaken to truth, but walk in truth, step in truth, and keep these commandments. Keep these commandments, hallelujah, that we would come back into these commandments and keep them and walk away from religion. It's not enough to just know, but to do, to live it. I thank you that these commandments are not grievous towards us, and that you're bringing us into the first part of Deuteronomy 28. But you said they that keep it will be blessed. They that walk away shall be cursed. And I thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. You've been better to us than we can be to ourselves. Bless those that prophesy today into the wind. May there be increase. We at some point we're planting, we're watering, but only you give the increase. May Israel wake up and our kingdom, the third that we'll make it through, be increased and encouraged today and set their affections on things above where you are. We want to be where you are. I thank you that we're one day closer to being there and one day more to the end of the Gentile rule. I thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear, that this ain't the business right here. This ain't what it's all about, what we see. That you got so much more for Israel. And we know that the things, according to 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, unseen are eternal. Eternal is the faith and hope that you're planning on seeing when you come back. So may the faith of you be increased and stirred today. I pray these blessings in the name of my brother, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom this world ignorantly calls Jesus the Christ. Most High, we give you all praise. Toda Rabba. I hope you're doing well on this Sabbath, this Shabbat, that you had a blessed 6 days. Listen, Most High tells you, you do what you need to do in them 6 days. When it comes to this day, we get in the same ship, we come together, and we recognize this day for what it is, for the blessings that is on this day. But this is the only day that Most High set aside and caused to be cold. Dash. You know, I just alluded to something when I was praying. It came in my spirit about the fact that we are in our final captivity, but we do not have to walk in the curses if we would come back to the commandments and walk in the knowledge of the truth. As you begin to progress in these commandments and begin to take on more of them, and learn them every Sabbath and practice them throughout the 6 days of the week. These over 230-something that are applicable to us, and as they become a blueprint for your life, you will begin to incur more blessings in your life amongst your family, your job, and your finances. He'll begin to give you the desires of your heart. But as we say around here, funny thing is that your desires change and you become like our big brother Moses, who said, The only thing I want is for you to show me your glory. I want more of that. So he didn't say, seek me and I'll give you the bins in the house. Those are things. He'll give you those things, but the thing about it is he won't give you those things until your mind is not set on those things. They'll become things that you just have. He'll use those things to show other people that you're blessed. But the thing is, he's not going to bless you with that if that is the focus and intent on you serving him. It's for the material things that are going to pass away. Everything on this earth is going to come to naught. Do you know he's going to purge this earth with fire? Set your affections on things above. There's another kingdom that this earth can't even compare to that is coming and that will be established, a better government. Better food, better water, better mindsets, better people, better living, better worship, better praise, better life, better. It won't even be darkness. Everything's going to get better. But we can walk in that right now and walk in the fullness. And trust me, how do I know that if you keep these commandments, you'll be blessed? Because the Most High promised that he would have a remnant. And seeing that we are in that final hour, there's a remnant of people that he's going to protect. You're going to have what you need. You're going to be like the children of Israel. You're not going to have to really go to all the nature stores and get all these rations. He's going to provide. You're not going to have to worry about your 401k. He's going to provide. You're not going to have to worry about the economic collapse. He's going to provide. Now, I can't say this to everybody because everybody's faith is not there, but he did say in the book of Revelations, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? Let me put it to you like this. When I come back, will I find somebody to kick back saying I ain't worried about what's going on? He's on his way back. He'll be here any minute now. Most of y'all not like that. You panicking. You listen to what everybody's saying at the grocery store, at the job, by the water cooler, in the bank. You see what CNN is saying and which family and your pork-eating Christians are saying. You know, you're hearing all this stuff, and it's getting to your spirit. You're getting anxiety. You're nervous. You're worried. You're drinking. You're smoking weed. You're trying to medicate yourself. You're having sex. You're caught up in fornication. You got demons on you, and you can't shake them. Stepping outside smoking cigarettes because you can't calm your nerves. Some of y'all not free. Trust. You're not in the remnant. You haven't been set free. You haven't got there yet. And it's because you have not fallen in love with these commandments. 1 John tells us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's what we have to understand. If you love me. So when you start keeping the commandments, let us not forget the conversion. What is the conversion? Psalms 19:7. For the law of the Elohim is perfect, converting the soul of man, transforming you, changing you. And this is where we want to be. Let us not forget, most importantly, and I'm already into the lesson, about to go into the laws, but the Shabbat and Blueprint for Life is all about these commandments. And my heart has been more drawn to this particular lesson and reading of the word as opposed to any other show or lesson that we do, even Straight No Chaser and Midweek Bible Study. I know that at the end of the day, you got to keep these commandments. I'm at my wit's end with people saying, what you think about this? What about this camp? What about this elder? What about smoking weed? What about legalization of weed? What about having a drink? What about having two or three wives? What about these fringes? What about, are you keeping the commandments before you start talking to me about science and what's going on in this world? The funny thing is that most of the people that come at you with these deflections and distractions are not keeping the commandments. When people try to analyze world prophecy and biblical prophecy, and they're arguing and fighting over that in the name, the majority of those people aren't keeping these commandments. Probably still having shrimp tacos, crab burgers, a couple of ribs on the side on Labor Day and holiday. And by the way, let me go ahead and proclaim this. This September 5th, Labor Day will be considered Hebrew Israelite Awareness Day. Because if you want to call it Labor Day, you're going to recognize that this whole world was built on the blood and backs of the slaves and our ancestors and forefathers. We don't celebrate these pagan holidays. But if you're going to call it Labor Day, you might as well call it Hebrew Day. Because the most labor that ever took place to bring the wealth of the wicked into prominence was what the slaves did and how they built this place up. You best believe I'm going to be giving praises to the greatest, most high. But I'm going to be in thought about my ancestors that was beat down to put brick upon brick, mortar upon mortar, to build a White House, to build the governments and buildings in your city. Yeah, when you think about Labor Day. What was I talking about before I went into that? Talking about these commandments. The most important thing is keeping these commandments, these statutes and laws. So I don't want to hear debates about the name and everything else because too many of these people aren't keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. Should we tithe this way? Should we do this? Yeah, we want to perfect these commandments. Yes, I do believe tithes are the fruits and grains and harvests and not giving your money to somebody and you don't know what they're doing with it and you'll never see it again and that you're not blessing those. He said the ones that will be blessed are the ones that feed the hungry, put food. It's in Isaiah 58. This is the fast he's calling for. He said, the people that do these things will be able to call upon me and I will hear them and their health shall spring back upon them. The people that are blessing people quietly and in secret, you're not going to make it and get a great reward in heaven because you gave some elder that you can't even see or don't even know some money and he's already denying you over the internet. Keep the commandments and stay away from the foolish conversations we're caught up into. We are on the under as a people, always gossiping and talking about each other. That means we're always tale-bearing and bearing false witness and speaking things we have no knowledge of. And do you know that you're going to have to give an account for every word? It comes out your mouth. Did you know that there's a full DVD, DDR being made of your life that will be rehearsed back to you when you stand before the Most High? You may have repented. He's forgiven you, but he's going to play back, and you're going to have to give an account of every idle word. That is Bible. Why was you talking like that? Why did you say that? Why were you cursing like that? It's going to have some significance in the day of judgment for you. It might keep you from getting in. Don't think. Everybody talking about heaven, going to heaven. Remember that song they used to sing in church? Well, let me put it to you like this. Everybody's not going to the wilderness. Everybody's not a part of the remnant. There's only one-third that's going to make it. Two-thirds will be destroyed. Do you understand that? Do you understand that 66.6% of the children of so-called Israel will be destroyed? That's more than half, because you want to remain in the pagan customs of this world. You want to worship false idols, false gods, and get turned up, and you can't get enough of this. You can't shake it. You don't realize that your life is more than the sum value of what you can see with the naked eye. The sum total of your existence is not your physical relevance, but the spiritual determination of where I will spend eternity and where my soul is fixed at. But you can't think like that because you have no self-control. And that is an attribute of the Holy Spirit that only comes when you strive to keep the commandments. Revelations 22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, Selah. The precept is Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 10. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Why? That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. If you listened to the Blueprint for Life last week, We put some emphasis on that tree of life and how important it is. If you listened last week, you heard me talk about the fact that this tree of life, and it's also in the second book of Enoch, that it has its own plane where it lays. There's only a few people that can have access to that tree of life that will walk in immortality. You go back and listen last week. But listen to this part that we never go into after we read that about those keeping the commandments. Guess who are the people that can't and won't and don't keep the commandments? Guess who they are? Verse 15, dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and listen to this one, whosoever loveth and make it the lie. Do you know some people that look at you right in your face and lie to you like nothing never happened? And they love lying. They laugh about it because it's a joke because they call it a white lie. Do you know that liars are of their father, Satan? But he is the father of lies? Do you understand the concept of that? He created the whole concept of lying. The scripture tells us that Ahiah is not a man that he can lie. He can't even do it if he wanted to. It's nothing but truth in him. It was Hashatan that came along, lied to a third part of the angels, and they was like, yeah, we with you, let's go. Lied to the angels who were the watchers on, who fell and came down onto Mount Hermon and had sex with the daughters of men. The women saw how fine it was and created these giants in the earth and seduced them. They're locked up underneath the earth. You look at me in my face and tell me a lie, I'm like, look at this child of Satan. Verse 15 makes it clear. I digress. 15, sorcerers, people who work witchcraft, people who sell drugs, people who have things to do with drugs, people like who are in the drug industry. You shouldn't even have your hand in. I'll just tell you the truth. I wouldn't want anything to do with it. I'm sorry. If you offered me a job, which is they pay very well, six figures, to go to each hospital and sell pharmaceutical medicines based on these scriptures and what I know now, I couldn't do it. I'd have to take a stand for the Most High and these commandments. I am not going to be a legal dope dealer to sell sorcery and pharmakia to a man in a white coat to give to people that's going to shorten their lives and kill them and have them to the point where they are incoherent and can't gravitate towards these commandments. Not doing it. Don't you understand that every person that puts a peg, or there's a little puzzle game they used to have, I think, called Jenga. You're a part of the puzzle. You're a big piece of the big spectrum. I don't care what part you play. If you have a hand in it, you are in it. You built the infrastructure of seduction, and you are a part of the infrastructure of seducing our people and deception and deceiving our people. If you have one hand in the puzzle, you can't try to sit up here and talk your way out of it, play with it, lie about it. Well, see, I'm not really, you know, I'm not. See, but what I do, it doesn't work like that, brother. You in it. I'm not going to be the one wheeling you in somewhere that I know is going to cause your destruction. I can't be the one selling you something. I can't sell you cigarettes when they put on the side of cigarettes that this will kill you and cause cancer. I can't contribute to that. And this is where we have to take a stand as being the remnant who believe in keeping these commandments. Let me go another step further, and I read this in this book of Enoch as well, too. Let us learn to love and respect everything the Most High has created, even what you're going through in your situations. If you want to have a more victorious life 6 days before the Sabbath and Shabbat, be grateful for everything the day holds, knowing that his hand is in there. What am I saying to you? All things work together for the good of them that love. Hey, yah, hallelujah. And that worship him and praise him and seek him and consult him. Trust in our Elohim with all your heart. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. Whoremongers. Idolaters is so large that I can't even begin to explain, because idolatry is when you have any fixed man-made image that is formed and you admire it so much that you just esteem it. It's idolatry, and that can just be anything from a car, your television. Some people love your TV. First thing you do when you get home is turn the TV on, sit in front of it, and let it program you. And let all the spirits coming through there just be thrown into your soul because you're wide open for it. Your phone has become everybody's idol. I was making a statement a few weeks back. I was on mass public transit, and everybody on the transit had their head into the phone. That's the best way to get these messages out today because everybody's going to have a phone in their hand. Now they're paying for their groceries. They're paying for everything with the phone. They're doing everything with the phone. They're having sex on the phone. It's just going too far. It is the precursor to the chip, and it has everyone programmed. People getting shot and ran over in cars for playing Pokemon Go with their phones. Well, with the phone, you can see the Pokemon, but with the real eye, you can't see it. So they're chasing a spirit, a demon. Go over here. There it is. It's in that parking lot. Look at your phone. You can see it with the phone, but you can't see it with the physical eye. There you go. You caught one. You got it. What? You don't even know you're being programmed for something. Scripture says that they'll say Christ is over here, and people will go over there, and they'll say, and the scripture told us to run over there, because there'll be many false Christs over here in the woods. He's over here. He's over there. It's the same thing they're doing with this game. All this stuff is that these people are knowledgeable and have an intent when they're doing what they're doing, when they're creating what they're creating. It's to see if you are receptive. And if you're numb enough for them to take you further into the New World Order programming so that they can destroy you and march you like cattle into the slaughter. And I think they pretty much got everybody. Your best informants in the world and police department are your neighbors. Yeah, this is 911. How can I help you? There's somebody in front of my house and people getting killed, shot, everything. If you see something, say something. It's another one of my favorite scriptures before I go into this particular law that I want to speak on today. And I got to bring it out because I've been reading this for the last 2 weeks. Ecclesiasticus 19 and 19. The knowledge of the commandments of the Most High is the doctrine of life, meaning it is the blueprint for life. And they that do things that please Him, the Most High, shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. So when you take Revelations 22 and 14, line it up with Ecclesiasticus 19 and 19. Oh man, it's a perfect precept. Verse 20 of Ecclesiasticus 19, the fear of the Lord is all wisdom. We find that in Proverbs. And in all wisdom is the performance of the law. All praises to the Most High. All praises to the Most High. For the law today, before I go into this reading, lesson and exhortation in Joel, the one that I wanted to point out, which I kind of alluded to, you'll find in Leviticus, the 22nd chapter. And it's to hallow the Most High's name. Now, what happens is when I get into this, people immediately come into the argument and conversation of what's the name you use. I'm going to stay away from that today because you silly, if you're sitting up in the edge of your seat waiting to see what name I'm using. You know why you silly? Because when he comes back for the remnant that you're hoping you'll be a part of, the 33%, because 66% of y'all, you stiff-necked, hard-headed Israelites, will be killed and destroyed. So you're worried about the name. You don't even know if you're going to make it. He said, I'm going to give you a pure language, and I'm going to give myself a new name, and I'm going to even give you a new name. So what you're fighting over will be brought to naught after the day of the Lord is done. Just when we get ready to come into our prominence, that you're putting so much significance on right now will be done away with. Because what we're going to get into in the lesson, he says that that new name he's going to give you, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, and it's going to be that new name, shall be delivered. But you don't know what deliverance is, so I'm going to talk about that. But what I want you to realize is that in the law, if you were unclean, you weren't allowed to call his name. It was a sin. Do you know how often y'all break the commandments and the laws throughout the 6 days to where you shouldn't even be saying Aheya or saying Yah or Yahweh or whatever you say? You know what? So the point I'm making is that some of you break so many laws during the week and you're not keeping them, you shouldn't even be saying the name. You should just be saying the Most High. Because you're not even worthy to call that Kodesh, which is Hebrew for set apart and sanctified. You're not even worthy to be calling that name half the times throughout the 6 days of the week, because you'd be breaking so many laws. You shouldn't even take the name of the Most High in vain and just be throwing it out. It's like a story I heard about a brother that said he tried to invoke the Abrahamic curse upon some people because they were mistreating him. I think it was police officers, and he tried to invoke the Abrahamic curse of, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And he tried to ask the Lord to bring a curse upon those that were just despitefully using him and what they were doing to him. And the moment he did that, pain flew all through his chest, and he began to have the early signs of a heart attack. He said, oh, God, I'm about to die. The Spirit told him, how are you going to invoke on them that you don't even keep or respect? You in the same stead as them. You cannot invoke the curses and blessings of the Most High unless you are keeping these commandments to the fullest of your ability. What does that mean? To whom much is given, much is required. If you know, the more commandments you know about, the more you're expected to adhere to. This is why half the time some of y'all don't want to hear the teaching on the Sabbath and the Shabbat, because you don't want to grow, because you don't want the expectations upon your life to increase. You love staying where you are, because ignorance is bliss. And our people, according to the book of Hosea, are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. This is the funny thing. Not because it's not there, because they don't want to learn it, and it will cause you to be destroyed. Don't ask the Most High or pray against somebody. We will often do this, Psalms, the 35th chapter, and we call those what type of prayers? Yes, imprecatory prayers. You can pray imprecatory prayers like King David prayed, King David prayed against his enemies. You can't pray no imprecatory prayers against your enemies if you're sitting up here walking in sin, whoremonging, in idolatry, you in fornication, you cheating on your husband and wife, you walking around in lust, you eating pork, you ain't in praying no imprecatory prayer, because what's going to happen is it's going to knock on your door too. It's going to knock on your door first. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. What does that mean? All the way around. What is coming on the world? It's going to start with the Most High's people. So he's going to check you first before you get to talking about, avenge me. Well, I'm going to avenge myself first, says the Most High, because you are disrespecting my counsel and my commandments. Needless to say, the brother found himself asking for forgiveness for his sins and his life and taking that prayer back and realizing that he was probably going through what he was going through because he was in sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and 4. Don't find yourself trying to ask the Most High to handle somebody when you're not handling his business. Now let me tell you something. If you're keeping these commandments and laws, I'll say it in a minute. Hey, Most High, this is your child. I'm your child. I'm your servant. This is your body. I've been walking in these commandments. I've been abstaining from lust and sins. And I'm just giving whatever it may be. You can say, look, I need you to handle this business so I don't have to worry about it. I'm your child, Daddy. Come on, take care of this, Father. As I take care of your business, you and these laws and these commandments, and I'm the light in this earth, the salt of the world, I need you to step up for me because they're coming at me wrong. You can do that. You have that privilege. The Most High said that. As I mentioned earlier, Isaiah 58, when the Most High sees that you're going to and from the earth looking for somebody to bless on behalf of him. When you go in your closet, get some clothes because you see somebody that needs something, and you're not talking about, wait, hold up, that's my best shirt right there. Let me give him this shirt with the hole in it. No. Yeah. Let me give him this old suit I used to wear 10 years ago. Yeah, when they see you acting like that, I mean, the Most High is not going to bless that. Can I ask you a question on the side? Those of you listening, how many times have you seen somebody in the street that was freezing and homeless and you took the coat off your back, gave it to them, and kept it pushing? Because you realized that you had a job and you could buy yourself another one, or that you really didn't need it. You had another coat at home. Have you ever done it? Or have you walked by somebody that was hurting and starving, and you and your self-righteousness talking about, well, they should have been keeping them commandments. If they ever found out that you was a commandment keeper and the way you treated them, they'll be like, I don't want no parts of that. Most High is expecting us to take care of those that are needy, because he said you in the law, he said you will always have the poor amongst you. We have to take care of them. Even in the law, he told us when we pick from the harvest and from the fields and the grapes to leave some on the side for those who don't have, who are less fortunate. Let them have that. Don't take everything out the field. Leave some behind. You starting to understand how the Most High is thinking? He provides. The birds don't worry. The rabbits, the squirrels, the foxes don't worry. And the beautiful thing about them is he said, I made all these animals in the earth to worship and praise me. The animals can't talk to you, but they can see that today is a good day, and the Most High is going to provide for me. Scripture says in the book of Enoch that when a bird flaps his wings, it is worship unto the Most High, and that's why he created it. He's actually worshiping the Most High. Everything we do should be worshipful and mindful into giving back to him, his creation, and to his people. I know we want to see these Edomites destroyed. Scripture already prophesied that. Why are you worried about that? What he told you to do is follow peace with all men and holiness without. No man shall see our Elohim. No man shall see our power. If you don't have holiness, if you're not Kodesh, you're not set apart and different. That's what holiness is. You are set apart. You are different from everybody. People hate you. Despise you. You don't fit in because you're keeping these commandments. Holiness without, you're not going to even see him. You dress different. You talk different. You walk different. You give. You look out for people. You don't need the spotlight. You don't need to be around a bunch of people. You know how to be by yourself. You wake up and you pray. You don't know about all the latest gossip. You're not always in the conversation tail-bearing. You're not leading everybody to the chaos and trouble. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't find yourself cussing about all the stupid stuff they cuss about. You don't find yourself getting turned up. You ain't always talking about where's the party at. You're a different breed. I think I did that lesson maybe a month ago. Remnant. Who are the remnant? Broke down every precept. It lets you know who they are. And to the ones that don't fit in, they find the requirements very rigorous, tedious, and grievous. But the ones who are the remnant count it all a joy. They count it a blessing. They love it. Do you know how much I love the Shabbat, the Sabbath? I hope you the same way. Do you know how easy it is for me to walk away from the crab and shrimp and the pork and not even want it? Because I, not only after it was first a commandment in law, I found out later and in the process that I'm actually treating my body better. The cholesterol's lower. The blood pressure's lower. I'm taking care of the temple. And this is the way he ordained it. He made my body not to eat those things. He made those things to eat decrepit, nasty things, to clean the earth and clean the sea. The earth's natural garbage disposers. And you want to saute that in some olive oil and garlic, huh? That's because you want to be like the other nations, the heathens. So Leviticus 22 and 31 says, therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Most High. Verse 32. neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. Ahaya, your power, which hallows you. You will sanctify me, and in return, I will sanctify you. You will set me apart on a set-apart day, because this is a set-apart day. You don't go shopping. You don't go cooking. All your food is prepared on Friday. You don't seek entertainment. You don't speak your own words. You set it apart. Even when you were keeping Sunday church, you didn't set it apart. After church, you washed your car and did whatever the hell you wanted to do. Went shopping, went out, went to the movies. This is the set-apart day that, according to Genesis, after the sixth day of creation, on the seventh day, he rested. He sanctified the seventh day. He set it apart. He hallowed it. And he's expecting us to do the same about his name. The point I want to make today, as opposed to fighting with you about the name, is that it shouldn't even be used all the time, and you shouldn't just recklessly use it around people. You know, I guess something is coming in my spirit. I had actually talked about putting the name of Hey Yah on my plate, but everybody don't need to know it, see it, or say it. Because to me, it's a sacred name. It's a sacred name. I don't need to have it out there like everybody else has Pepsi and Levi and True Religion and Gucci, and it's not a brand. The only thing I need to have on my license plate is repent or die. And that's real talk. So we don't need to do like the heathens do. Brothers and sisters, this being Kodesh is very serious. Come out from amongst her, my people. You got to come out. At the beginning of Isaiah 58, lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion and show my people their transgressions. That means you got to stop biting your tongue. We talked about that in the book of Ezekiel, the third chapter. You're going to have blood on your hands. Not only will you give account of every word that comes out of your mouth, many of us are going to be like, what's this on my hands as we stand before him? He's going to say, that's the blood that's on your hands from people that are in hell because you didn't tell them that they were wrong and you let them die in their sins doing what they were doing. You knew they were caught up into homosexuality, fornication, pharmakia, lying, stealing, robbing, and not keeping my commandments, and you didn't say nothing because you claimed you loved them so much you just didn't want to say nothing. But you're going to be standing before him and your hands are going to be blood red. You're going to wonder why. Because you bit your tongue. You're not worthy to be a part of the remnant because you're scared of man. And you're scared to tell man when the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, moves you and says, tell that brother and sister that they're not doing right. Man, I'm so quick. As soon as he said, I'd be like, hey, check this out. Let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? You're going to hell. Keep it up. There's a hell waiting on you. Keep lying. You're going to be in the fire. Your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. Based on Ezekiel, the third chapter. Do you want blood on your hands? Because you didn't tell Twan, you better stop doing what you're doing and get off that man's back. You're going straight to hell. And later, for your grace and mercy, you're going to die and go to hell. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. This word is like a two-edged sword. When we come back, let's get into Joel, the second chapter. Let's talk about the day of the Lord is a very dark day. Yes, sir. Babylon is definitely fallen. Well, you know, I know we're not supposed to rejoice at the dark day that we're getting ready to talk about, but I'm so excited at the fact that we're one day closer to the reign of Zion and my people going back into their homeland and us coming up out of this captivity. The dark day is not anything to rejoice, as we're going to read about, but I know the dark day has a twofold significance, and there's a part of it that I'm excited about. And I have to be real. There's two parts I'm also excited about. Some folks gonna get what's coming to them, and another folks are gonna get what's coming to them. What do I mean by that? The evil will be purged, and the righteous will be promoted and elevated. All praises to the Most High. All I can say is hallelujah to that, because if you're not looking forward to that great day when we're back in the kingdom, and you are misled, because the book tells us that the trees and the animals are all yearning and groaning for the return, for Zion to return and get this earth back in harmony, get rid of the and purge this earth and get rid of the pestilence that will come upon this earth and that's on this earth, the chemicals and the trails. The whole earth is in groaning for the sons of man to return back into prominence that he promised us, all of creation. So brothers and sisters, let's get ready to get into it. We're going to read these scriptures, get into the second part of the lesson, and I want to talk from the Tanakh. The prophet spoke of when we talk about dark day, we have to start in Joel, the second chapter. I'm so fascinated by the book of Joel that talks about the transformation of the people of the Most High. For he says, we know not what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be as he is, for we shall be changed. I am rejoicing even as I'm starting to see the strength of the Hebrew people physically transforming right before your eyes. It was just the other day that they showed a 17-year-old boy breaking a world record, and he ain't nothing but about 5'5", squatting 600 pounds. It's almost a ton. People wondering, how in the heck is he doing that? You're seeing a glimpse of the transformation of a people that are not regular, but they are a different people. I do not support the pagan aspect of the Olympics, knowing that how it started with Alexander the Great in the Book of Maccabees, where they had different nations to compete against each other in the nude. And it was a part of our enslavement. But to let a people shine at such a time as this, in such a way, is a sign unto people to let them know whose hand is on these people and that they are Kodesh and set apart. Joel, the second chapter, says this: blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Selah. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. That's why he said, blow ye a trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. That's why he said in Isaiah 58, lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion and show my people their transgressions. There's going to be some trumpets sounding. But here, right here, he's talking about verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. What is he talking about? What I just was making a prelude to, as to the prominence of the people who will be changed and will be physically changed and prepared to do things you have never seen done before. We're going to read about it. The name Joel itself means that the Most High is our power. Joel 2 and 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. He's talking about the march of the remnant and of the army and of the war of the Most High when he comes in that dark day. Have you ever woke up and it's just gloomy? Imagine something 10,000 times worse than a gloomy, cloudy day with no sunshine. There'll be complete darkness. But during that darkness, there will be a people. The people of the army of the Most High, hey, Yah, will be marching forth and destroying. I don't want to see the dark day, because if you're not right, you will be destroyed. But my plan is to be a part of that army or a part of the remnant, which is why I sacrifice daily to persecute my flesh. Like some of y'all wait till the Day of Atonement. Now, this should be every week you should be doing this, and every day, which is why purposely I try and abstain from sin and breaking the commandments and laws. Daily, you should be saying, can't do that. You should be checking yourself. I'm counting myself and hoping and praying that I'll be a part by daily keeping these commandments and crucifying my flesh. Things that my body might tell me I think I want to do, I'm like, hell to the no. This life and that moment and that little bit of time ain't worth it. And he is not going to come back and catch me drunk, sprawled out in the streets, or in a club, or in somebody else's bed I shouldn't be in, or committing some type of murder I shouldn't be committing, or taking vengeance upon something myself. I want to be found right. That takes a daily sacrifice. Do you have the testicular fortitude to keep these commandments? Because you got to be a strong man and woman to keep these commandments. That means you got some self-control. And I'm going to say it again. It only comes through the Ruach HaKadosh. So if you ain't got the spirit, no, you ain't going to make it. You can't just be down by clothing, by head wrap, by a few precepts. You can't just be down like that. See, the Most High knows your heart. You can sit up here and play and impress people with the visual, but he knows who you really are. He knows what you're going to do next week when you're faking. I've had enough of the world. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm holding out for hope. And this is the hope, Joel 2 and 4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle of array. Man, he about to put on armor on us, because we're going to have to go down into these bunkers where a lot of these Edomites are going to be hiding with their shelters and their survival kits and their food rations, talking about we're going to wait for the nuclear storm to pass over, and then we'll retake the land. No, he's going to make us so strong we'll be going into bunkers and shelters and just handling the business. And you know what the business is. Before their face, people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. That's what they're scared of. Verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. What you seeing in the Olympics, Usain Bolt? 1,000 times faster than that. Call him the fastest man in the world. But you are seeing a glimpse from the tribe of Benjamin. How we going to be handling the business? They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his way. And they shall not break their ranks. We will know our places. We will have order amongst Israel. Verse 8, neither shall one thrust another. There will be no pushing. Nothing scares these other nations more when they see the solidarity and the solemnity and the order of Israel, when we come together and we are orderly and we put things in check. I'll never forget the sight I'll give you an idea. When they showed in the Malcolm X movie and they took that brother to jail, and them Muslims marched in order with them trench coats and hats, and one man was giving them orders on when to turn, when to march, when to bounce, and what to do. And all they can say is, that's too much power for one black man. But it scares people when they see us march in an orderly fashion because they already expect us to act out. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, did you hear? Listen to this. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. What is that saying? I'm going back to Thessalonians. We are going to be changed to be like him. No bullets. No armor-piercing bullets, none of these great scientific technological weapons that they've created are going to work against this army of the Most High. It says it right here in Joel 2 and 8, that even when they fall upon the sword or darts or bullets or whatever you want to call it, none of them shall fall and be hurt or die. They shall run to and fro into the cities. They shall run upon walls, climb upon the horses. It'll probably be the tanks that they think they have and the planes, because it was just horses in the vision because they couldn't describe it any other kind of way. And so they used horses in those times. But you think about it today. It'll be those warships and those tanks that they're bringing into your cities at night on the trains, and they are strategically positioned in all of our cities ready for martial law. They already, they're hiding behind buildings and in giant warehouses. You thought the warehouse was just abandoned. They got some tanks, some martial law equipment in there ready for your behind. But it's telling us right here that these mighty men in that dark day will be climbing inside these tanks and ripping people out of them. The Most High is going to bring those weapons to naught. The science won't work. Technology won't work. They're going to tell you that it's an EMP weapon. Electromagnetic pulse that has shut down all the phones, which is why they're tricking you into making everything electronic. The meters on your house, the cars, the TVs, the phones, everything is going to shut down. They'll blame it on a weapon, but they already know that the Most High prophesied that none of their weapons that the fallen angels gave them information about, the technology came from them, that none of it's going to work. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. They'll be taking people out. This is what we shouldn't be preaching about in the street. This is just for us to know that we're doing the Most High's bidding, not out there street preaching. Yeah, we're going to be killing y'all. Kill this man right here and the Edomites. Yeah, we're going to kill your babies. That's ignorance. You are an idiot, sir. Stay off the streets. You're giving me a bad name. I got a job to do right now, which is spread these statutes, laws, and commandments, and preach this and be strong. Verse 10, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp, not your camp, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? You see that? It is duplicitous. It's great and it's terrible. It's great because we're getting the recompense we've been looking for. We're getting the vengeance that the elders in heaven are crying out to him right now, saying, how long will it be before you avenge us? That is the day. He's like, it's finally being taken care of. And the elders are probably up there like, woo, get him, yeah, left, right. You know how when you go to a boxing match, that's how those elders are going to be, those 24 elders. Like, yes, yes, finally, the blood from the streets and in the ground is being avenged. But at the same time, very terrible. Some people are going to be mad. Children and babies of the other heathens that worship other gods and Edomites, Esau, Ammonites, Moabites, everything that is of that seed is going to be killed and destroyed. Let's look at something. I want you to see a precept. Let's go to Zephaniah real quick. The book of Zephaniah 1, 14 through 16. I got some neighbors hearing me preach this, and I wanted to get out because guess what? This is the Shabbat. And I knew there's probably a force field emanating from my front door. Zephaniah 1 and 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. This is a vision of the prophet Zephaniah. He says, even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. Then he goes on in 15 to say, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, a day of desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. This is what these people who are in their kingdom right now, living in their $5 million houses with their 401ks and 300 in retirement, driving their $100,000 cars, walking around with their noses up, calling people all kinds of bywords. This is what they don't want to believe or see, because this is not their book. This is our history book to give us hope. They don't want to see what verse 15 just described to you, and they know it's coming. There's no rations, tents, bunkers, shelters, food. Nothing's going to help you, save you. There's no 8Ks. Your nuclear weapons aren't going to work. There's nothing that's going to help you or save you. The only thing that's going to help you or save you is recognize who the people of the Most High are. Recognize and bow down to our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, who you call Jesus Christ. Walk away from religion and Christianity and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments that were given to a group of people to teach only the other nations. It's not the other nations teach us. You must sit down and learn and follow us, because you will. Unfortunately, you may not want to hear it, but the tables are going to be turned. It's turning right now. Come on, who moved the furniture? Zephaniah 1 and 16, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities. That means these people putting up walls and all that, ridiculous. It's not going to help you. And against the high towers, I don't care about, there's a fort that they take the presence to escape. None of this stuff. These people have underground cities built miles, millions of miles under the earth that they think are going to sustain them. They've taken the good seeds, the good crops. They got light that's bright as sunshine. They have built cities underground. Many people you think were killed are missing because they had some prominence or they helped to do something. They're in these cities. They think they're going to be able to hide underneath the ground from this. That's why he's going to make these people great. You're only seeing a shadow of the strength of the people that were fighting this army. We will be plowing down into these cities, destroying those that worship Satan, because the whole world pretty much is worshiping Satan. I think I wanted to go to verse 16, and that was it. And that's talking about the dark day. But let's look at Isaiah, how the prophet Isaiah talks about the dark day. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 13, 9 to 11. The prophet Uzziah, or Yeshaya. It would be Yeshaya. Prophet Yeshaya, who was Isaiah, said in 13, 9 to 11, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel but with wrath, and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. If you're living in sin, if you're abiding in sin, you're going to be killed. You're going to the lake of fire. That's where you're going. Sin is transgression of the law. Not smoking and drinking, or not going to Bible study and choir rehearsals and ushers meeting. Sin is transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and 4. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven, verse 10, and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. In that day, Most High going to turn off the light switch. The circuit breaker is going to be cut. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked. it for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. As I was reading that, I just saw everybody in the earth, the politicians, the wealthy, the people that are around the corner that are pushing them $100,000 cars, living in big houses and looking down upon you, and the meek and the poor and the lowly, and drive past the tent cities and said, I wish they'd get rid of this vermin scum off the streets. I don't want to see it. I've heard them talk like that in my face. Then they look me in the eyes and catch themselves. Because I'm like, no, you're the one that needs to be taken away from the earth immediately. You think your little paper with a president's face on it is going to save you and make you great? That little piece of paper going to burn anyway because it's not worth nothing and it never was worth anything. Listen to Yeshaya 13 and 10 again. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause their light to shine. Verse 11, let's listen closely to the prophet Isaiah about the day of the Lord that is right around the corner. He said, and I will punish the world for their evil. Man, I got to pause. There's so much evil in the world. There's so much that America and the United Nations are doing to countries that they won't even let you see on TV. How they're raping and pillaging Africa, killing people for no reason, dropping bombs on people with drones. What they did to people in these different countries, you say, well, they had it coming and it was prophesied. I just want you to see how evil they are. Even though they had it coming, some things were not warranted. They don't care about us. Punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, which is sin and transgression. There are wicked people amongst us, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. He's going to kill that off. You'll see attitudes change when they realize that the money, where they live and all that stuff, has no significance. And the haughtiness of the terrible. This whole chapter in Isaiah 13 is talking about Babylon and the things that are going to transpire. Let me go back real quick to Zephaniah, the third chapter, before we finish off Joel. The third chapter in the 14th verse. Listen to this. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. This is the deliverance that is to come towards the end of what's going to happen on the day of the Lord. What's my point? My point is that it's a twofold dark day. It is the ushering in of the house of Jacob, and it is the end of Esau's world. That dark day is duplicitous. If you can get through it, you're getting ready to walk into a light that is never ending, ever existing, and is the promise that the Most High made. It is the millennial. The reign of Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah, in which Christ personally directs the whole government of the world, and the 144,000 shall be the new governors. It's a fantastic time. Now, we know there'll be another judgment after that, as spoken of in Revelation 20, but that's when Satan is loose for a little time, and those he tried to deceive again, probably those that will be serving, will be eternally after that put into the lake of fire. But the millennial reign will exist. So during that millennial reign, those people that will live will be immortal, that have a right to the tree of life, because you will eat from that tree and it will sustain you eternally. And not everybody will have a right to that tree of life. We'll finish up Joel, the second chapter, as a reading and exhort from there, starting at verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with the mourning. This should be a part of your regimen every week. don't come up out of it. Let this be a way of life. You want to make it. There's something coming, and everything you do in the earth counts. You've been sent here. You're going to be judged, but you definitely want to get back to where you came from because he brought you here with a mission. And if you're in this truth, it's because he chose you to be in the truth. Now walk worthy of the truth, or have everything blotted out of the book that you did and be cast into the lake of fire. Verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. See the kings like David, when they messed up, they would rip their garments, put on sackcloth and ashes, pray and fast and ask for forgiveness. Well, he's saying don't do that no more. I need you to rend your hearts, tear your hearts up for me. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. These are the things that Israel should be doing. Verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. Here the elders are significant to those who are seasoned and of age in these scripts and in physical age. Got people thinking an elder ain't nobody but somebody who's over the camp and that the camp appoints and says he's the next elder. He's been in the troop for 2 years. Get out my face. Has nothing to do with camps. It has to do with the calling, seasoning of the Most High, understanding of these precepts, and your experience. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Gather the children, gather the elders, those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, you know who you are, the people that are given to the people of Israel. You are available to teach, pray, preach for the people. You're one who prays for the people. You have a broken, humble heart. You are out of the world. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. That means to intercede for our people constantly. And let them say, spare the people, Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where's their God? See, the minister's praying like this. Don't let us look bad down here with these people. Most High, have mercy, have grace. Don't forget Moses talked to Ahiah and asked him, please have mercy, because they'll say you just brought them out of Egypt to kill them, and you set them up. This is what their God does. These are what the ministers do, constantly praying for our people and our heritage. We need people to do that daily. Remember that in your prayers. Verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land at the hearing of these prayers and everything, and he will pity his people. What does this remind you of? I'll give you the precept. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will heal their land. I will hear them, and I will heal their land. But there's things that you must do. 18 tells us what he says. He will, at the end of 17, he's saying, I will hear you. Verse 18 says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land, pity his people. Verse 19. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. He will remember our deliverance that he's going to give us, because he put these curses on us because we didn't want to obey and keep the commandments. Verse 20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he had done great things. 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. 22, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring forth. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, your Most High, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Verse 26, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name
of the Most High, your power, that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. He's going to position us. Verse 27, and ye shall know that Ahiah is in the midst of Israel, and that Ahiah, the Elohim, your power, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord that we read about. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name, it shall come to pass, the Most High shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The remnant, be clear, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, those are physical locations, shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. And in the remnant, which is a group of people whom he shall call. So let me go back. Verse 31. If you understand, this is what took place in the book of Acts. And when Apostle Peter said, Caiaphas said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Because they begin to preach and prophesy then. You're seeing things and you're not understanding prophecy, how it deals with certain time frames and parameters, but all of this comes together. But what we just read made it clear that all of these things will happen as we begin to wake up and come out of the curses and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. We're living in a time where our people, the Spirit is coming on us because these bones are living again. Our people are waking up. We're preaching. We're prophesying. And so we see that in verse 30, and we see the heavens and the pillars of smoke. We see certain things transpiring. And it said that all this will happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord. All the signs and the prophesying we're seeing is letting us know that we're very close to the dark day of the Lord that we just read about in Zephaniah 1 and Isaiah 13 and the first part of Joel, the second chapter. And that's why he gives the precursor in 32 that whosoever shall call upon him during that time of the dark day will be delivered from that will happen. How do you know that? Well, I'll tell you how I know it. Based on Psalms 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely, verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noon. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Do you understand? He's saying you're going to be watching what's going to happen to these people during the dark day. But Joel 2 and 31 is saying a fire devoureth. It's saying the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day. We're seeing these things transpiring, but the news is keeping it from you about blood, moons, and fires, and Euphrates River drying up, so many other things transpiring. 32 says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name will take you back to Psalms 91 and 1, how you will be delivered. But understand this, deliverance in the Hebrew 64:13. Let me read all of that last verse before I give you that definition. Joel 2 and 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. 64:13 in the Hebrew means an escaped portion. So in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be an escaped portion of people, just a remnant in that great land. Do you see that, brothers and sisters? Go back into the archives if you can and see the lesson about who are the remnant. It's so critical to you leading a victorious life and being a part of that remnant. Not everybody's going to be a part of that remnant. So we must learn to prepare our hearts and to prepare our spirits, for the dark day is twofold. It's a blessing and a curse for many. We know that it's a blessing and a curse for many. This is what I wanted to read to you about the animals and the earth. How they feel right now. Revelation 18. For I reckon that the sufferings, Romans 8 and 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of Ahia. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected him in the same hope. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Ahia. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, until that time. This whole earth is shaking, moving, and groaning for the return of the children of the Most High into prominence, to the commandments, to the law, statutes, to bring this back into what it was supposed to be when he created it. All praises to the Most High. I just want to say to you before we get ready to go, to be encouraged. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you have been made free. Your end has already been pointed out. The things you're worrying about, he already knows the outcome. So all you need to do is rejoice in the battle, whatever you're going through, where you stand. You need to rejoice and keep the commandments and know that he has you. He has you. What is your life? But in his hands if you keep the commandments. And he said, I've got your best interest in mind. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. Encourage your brothers and sisters throughout the day. Keep this Shabbat. And I say, Kwam Yasha'Allah, let's rise, you Hebrews. Let's rise, Israel. Let's rise. Shabbat Shalom. Toda Rabbah.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. Yeah. Hawaiian shirt and chase the devil out of Earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is a evil old man, but him can't choke it on I man. So when I check him, I last in hand. And if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on a iron shirt.
With your bum.